Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. How you beautiful people doing? All right. A few of you are doing good. Everyone else, I hope you'll be doing good by the end of the service. I'm glad that y'all are here today. So honored for you guys to be here. And before we dive into things, I want to just issue a little challenge to everyone that's here. In the church world, here's some stuff that you may not know. The three highest attended Sundays every single year in churches across America are Christmas is number one, Easter is number two, and Mother's Day is number three. Statistically, one of the lowest Sundays of the year every single year is Father's Day. And we want to change that. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. If you are a dad, I want you to do what a lot of moms do. On Mother's Day, a lot of moms, when their family says, what do you want us to do? They say, come to church with me. If you're a dad, I want you to do the same thing. Okay? When they say, what do you want us to get you? Say, hey, we want you to come to church with us. I promise you, they probably still will get you the little coffee mug or whatever else they give you. But ask them that and just see what happens. But here's another challenge that I have for all of us, whether you're a dad or not. I want to encourage you to invite 10 people to come with you next week. Not to this service, because this service will not exist next week, but to one of the other two services. I want to ask you to invite 10 people. Who knows? They may just come. They may come with you. And so I want to ask you to do that. We got some special things planned, and I can't wait for you guys to experience it. But enough about next week. Today, we're talking about tethered to the gospel. And last week, we kicked off the series by defining the two words. The first word is tethered. And the word tethered, there's a couple definitions for it, but one of those definitions is simply to be chained or roped to something. It's this idea of like if you have an animal and you don't want them to get away, you put like a leash on it with a rope and then you tether it to something. The other idea, though, of tethered is to be tethered to the internet, that you take a device that doesn't have Wi-Fi and you tether it to another device. The second word that we looked at was the word gospel, and I'll give that definition in just a moment. But before we get into that, I want to just ask if you would be vulnerable with me. And what I want you to do is I really want you to think about some of the thoughts that you have in your brain. Would you be vulnerable enough to admit that you have some crazy thoughts? Like you have some weird thoughts. Like there are some thoughts that if people could read your brain, they would say, huh? Like there are some thoughts that go through your mind that you are thankful no one can read your brain. Like you have some thoughts. They're just weird, like out there thoughts. Maybe it's like when you're in the shower or just driving down the road by yourself. Like we all have just crazy thoughts. And I have really weird thoughts. I don't know where these thoughts come from. I don't know if it's from the food that I eat. I don't know if it's from like just programming that I watch on television and the internet. But like sometimes I'll just be driving down the road and these weird thoughts will just pop in my head. Like thoughts like this. Why does coffee stain your teeth brown, but milk doesn't stain your teeth white? I want to know this. Like, I'm tired of like having to like bleach my teeth because of coffee staining. I'd love to just drink milk and it's good for your bones and for your teeth. Speaking of milk, have you ever thought about this? You probably haven't because you're not maybe as weird as I am. But have you ever thought about that at some point in history, someone was the first person to have an idea to milk a cow? Have you ever thought about that? Like now it's just commonplace, but there was a point in history where people did not drink milk out of a cow's and someone had to be the very first person. And what was that conversation like? Like, how did they convince them? Like, you know, it's like, man, we're really thirsty and there's not a well for like a mile away, but man, look at that cow. If we pull on that udder, I think that we'll get milk and then we can dunk our Oreos and like, it'll be amazing. And like, and why did they decide on the cow? Like, you can milk a lot of animals. Like, why didn't they milk a squirrel or a giraffe? Like, why do we all drink cow's milk? I don't know that answer, but those are things that I think about. Or how about this one? If a pregnant woman goes swimming, is she a submarine? Some of you will get that later. A pregnant woman goes swimming, is she a submarine? Okay, these are the weird thoughts that I have in my head. And I don't know where they come from. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you would say, yeah, you've got some weird thoughts. But I think you also have some funny thoughts. You have some crazy thoughts. Can we just admit, though, we also have some dark thoughts? We have some thoughts that we're like, yeah, I don't want anyone to hear that because that's not a light thought. That's a dark thought. Sometimes we have scary thoughts. Sometimes we have thoughts that are full of worry. Like, we have all sorts of thoughts that are going through our brains. But have you ever asked yourself, well, what is a Christian thought? Like, we have all these thoughts, but what is a thought that would honor God? What is a thought that is literally a Christian thought? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I think that your thoughts on God are the most important thoughts that you'll ever have. Because your thoughts on God, they end up shaping everything else that you think in this world. And there are some thoughts that we have even about God that aren't Christian thoughts. Like, I don't know if you've ever just been driving down the road thinking some thoughts, but there are some thoughts that we have about God that aren't necessarily Christian thoughts. Like, have you ever had this thought? I'm not sure that God can love me. Like, maybe you just assume God loves you, but if you're like me and you've ever made like a big, massive mistake in life and you're just like, yeah, I royally blew it. When you're honest with your thoughts, it just, at least for me, it leads me to say, can God really love me through this? Can God really love me even though he saw what I just did? Have you ever had that thought? I think it's a normal thought, but it's not a Christian thought. Or have you ever thought this? Can God use me to make a difference? Like, I'm nothing special. Like, why would God want to use me? Like, sure, he can use preachers or singers or he can use people that are special, but why would God want to use little old me? Or maybe have you ever had this thought? Have I done enough good things to get to heaven? I know that as humans, we don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about eternity. Like, we don't like to think that we only have a limited amount of time on this earth. But have you ever just been honest and vulnerable with your thoughts to just think like I don't know, have I done enough good things to get to heaven? Those are real thoughts, but those aren't necessarily Christian thoughts. In fact, we have a lot of thoughts in our brains, and I would say the majority of our thoughts are not thoughts that are Christian thoughts. Did you know that researchers say that humans average 6,200 thoughts a day? They found that 80% of those thoughts were negative, and 95% were exactly the same repetitive thought as the day before. Now, I don't want to pass by this too quickly, because I think this is some really important information. 6,200 thoughts a day, but 80% of those thoughts are negative thoughts. 80% of the thoughts that are going through our brain are not positive. They're not kind. They're not kind about other people. And let's be honest, often they're not kind about ourselves. That we have some deep, deceptive, wrong thinking inside of our head. 80% of our thoughts are negative, but 95% are the exact same thoughts that we had the day before. What that means is that your brain is like a broken record. And if you don't do something intentional, you will naturally just repeat the same story you've been telling yourself over and over again. Like, have you ever been just driving down the road and you've made a turn and you're like, I don't know how I got to this destination. I just went on autopilot. Or like, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've literally walked out of the bathroom in the morning and thought, what did I do in there? Like, I have no idea what I just did. I think I brushed my teeth. They smell brushed. Like, I think I did all the things in there, but I just went on autopilot. Our brains have a way of just existing. We get through patterns, we get through things that feel comfortable, and we just repeat the same message over and over again. And so this is important for us to understand because some of us are thinking the same negative thoughts day in and day out. Some of us have the same destructive patterns because we haven't changed our thinking. Some of us are struggling with the exact same things because we keep thinking about the exact same things. Did you know that the default position of the brain is worry? This is literally what scientists and psychologists have found, that the default position of the brain is worry. This means that when you're not distracted with something else, the natural thing for your brain to do is to worry. So this is why oftentimes we worry when we're trying to go to sleep, because there's nothing else to distract us. If you've ever been trying to sleep and you're like, brain, just be quiet. Why are you so revved up right now? I'm tired. If you've ever wondered that, it's because that is literally the default position of your brain. And did you know that the vast majority of the things that we worry about never happen? In fact, researchers show that 97% of our worries are baseless and result from an unfounded pessimistic perception. 97%. The vast majority of the things that we worry about, either A, will never happen, or B, if they do happen, we can handle it. And yet, our brain continues to worry about things that aren't even going to happen. It worries about stuff. It keeps us up at night. Our brain is constantly repeating this negative record, and it's just going on over and over again. And this is why it's so important. If you're here today and you would say that you're a Christian, it is so important for Christians to know, what does it mean to think Christian? Because as a Christian, it doesn't mean that you just... I got choked up thinking about that. I have no idea what that was. It was like a burp and an air bubble all at the same time. What does it mean to think Christian? For Christians, we need to understand that our brains are constantly fighting against ourselves. And we have to learn how to think Christian. It's not something that you'll naturally do. Going to church one time doesn't make you think Christian. Just saying a prayer doesn't make you think Christian. You literally have to take the scriptures, apply it to your brain, and learn how to think in a way that is honoring to God. And this is where the gospel comes in. The gospel is so important because for Christians, the gospel is the filter in which we are supposed to take every thought through. That when you're thinking a thought, one of those crazy weird thoughts that you have when you're just driving down the road or when you're in the shower, as a Christian, you are to filter it through the gospel and say, is this thought appropriate? Is this thought honoring to God? Is this thought true? And if it's not, you are to dismiss it. And instead, you are to hold on to the truth of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, this is the gospel, simple definition. The gospel is the announcement that humans are sinners, but through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have life. That's the gospel. It is the foundation for what it means to be a Christian, that we believe that humans are sinners. We're born broken. We're born separated from God, but we can have life. We can have spiritual life, and we can have physical life through believing in Jesus. The gospel is so important, though, because you as a human being will not naturally think about the gospel. In fact, as human beings, we naturally reject the gospel. We naturally don't want to think about the gospel. The gospel is something that we can accept, but like we talked about last week, it's something that Paul said we have to be reminded of over and over again. And so today, this is something that we're going to look at through the scriptures on how do we do this. And it's something that we're going to look at through a scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote. Paul was important to Christians because he wrote over half of the New Testament, and he wrote a letter to the Christians living in Ephesus. And he's specifically going to talk to them about what it means to think like a Christian. And at Next Level, we honor the text, and the way that we do that is to stand to our feet and read it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand up wherever you're at and read with me Ephesians 4:23. When we get to the reference, Ephesians 4:23, you'll see two dots between the 4 and the 23. We like to have a little bit of fun, and we just pump our fists and say dot, dot. I want to invite you to do that with us as well. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, Ephesians 4, dot, dot, 23. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? With every head bowed, with every eye closed, I want to give you a moment to talk to God. I don't know if your day has been hectic, if it's been busy. I don't know if you've had a chance or made time to talk to God or not. But I want to give you a chance right now just to talk to him. And if you don't know what to say, I would encourage you to pray, God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you take a few seconds just to quietly pray to God? And God, that is our prayer. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. But God, if we're honest, we all have some good intentions. We have some good desires. We say we're going to do some things and then we don't follow through. So I ask God that you would give us the conviction to follow through, the conviction to do what you tell us to do. And I ask God that you would speak to us in a personal way. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I think I've established, and I think we're all on the same page, that we all have some crazy thoughts. We all have some weird thoughts. We all have some, at times, some dark thoughts. We all have had thoughts that we said, at one point we said that's true, but then as we progressed in life, we said that was a crazy, dumb thought. That was a lie. We've all had thoughts like that. And yet, you want to know a phrase that almost everyone believes? It's the phrase, just trust your gut. Like, just trust your heart. What does your heart tell you to do? If 97% of my thoughts are worry and never going to happen, why do I want to trust my gut? If the vast majority of my thoughts are negative, wrong thoughts that are happening on a regular basis, why do I want to trust my heart? If I'm constantly thinking about this broken record of life, why do I want to trust myself at all? In fact, I should question myself and say, you know what? That thought sounds good, but is it really good? And if it is really good, how do I know it's good? Because I deceive myself all the time. A Christian is a person who is constantly taking all of their thoughts, their minds, their heart, their soul back to the foot of the cross and saying, God, does this honor you? So look what our big idea for today is. And if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, feel free to write this down, or you can take a picture of the screen if you'd like to help you remember it. Here's the big idea for today. I can trust Jesus more than I can trust myself. I can trust Jesus more than I can trust myself. The truth is, I want to be a trustworthy person, but I lie to myself and you lie to yourself. We say we're going to do something and we don't do it. We say we'll never do that again and then we find ourselves doing it again. We have a way of rationalizing and deceiving ourselves. So as Christians, we don't put our trust in our own hearts. We don't put our trust in our gut feelings. We don't put our trust in what society says. We put our trust in Jesus. And we know that we can trust Jesus because Jesus is true. So look what Paul says, Ephesians 4, 17. Paul says, so I tell you all this and insist on it in the Lord. Now, before we move on, I want to make sure that you hear Paul's wording. He is insisting on this. This is written to Christians. So if you're here today and you would say, you know, I don't know if I am a Christian or I'm kind of new to this thing, then you need to know this isn't written to you. And that's okay. I think it's awesome that you're here. You're welcome here. We want you to come and we love that you're here. This is a safe place to learn about what does it mean to be a Christian. But these verses are written to Christians. And so Paul is insisting, if you're here today and you would say, there's no doubt in my mind, I know I am a Christ follower, I am a Christian. If there's no doubt in your mind about that, then Paul would say, I'm insisting that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now, who are the Gentiles? Well, if you've gone to Next Level for any amount of time, then you're familiar with Gentiles. I've talked about it multiple times. Maybe you grew up in church and you know about it. But in case you're new to the church scene, Gentiles were simply the pagans of Paul's day. Specifically, in Paul's day, the main religious people that Paul dealt with were Jewish people and Christians. And most of the Christians looked just like the Jewish people because it came out of the Jewish faith. And so if you were a Christian in Paul's day, it meant that you didn't just say you were a Christian, you actually looked different than everyone else. The Gentiles would have been pagans. They would have worshipped either no gods or they would have worshipped multiple gods. And if you were a follower of Jesus, it actually impacted the way that you dressed. It impacted what you ate. It impacted where you went. And it impacted, like, literally the thoughts that you had. It impacted everything about you. So in Paul's day and age, you could literally look out into a group of people and say, yes, that's a God follower. I don't think so. I think that's a Gentile. Literally by the way they dressed and they carried themselves. Today, it's a lot harder to tell, isn't it? It's a lot harder to tell if someone is a Christian simply by looking at them. And so Paul is saying, listen, if you are here today and you're a Christian, you are called to be different. You're called to be set apart from someone that doesn't have God. That's simply what he's referring to when he says Gentile. Specifically, he says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. I like that word futility. I feel like it's like a word that like a bad guy would use in a movie, like resistance is futile. Like, I like that idea. But Paul's saying that in the futility of their thinking, what does he mean by that? He means that some of our thoughts, they may feel like good thoughts, but if you trace them down to the heart of it, they are not bringing you life. They're actually bringing you death. That some of the thoughts that we have, they feel like, oh, yeah, that's a good motivational thought. But if you really look long term, if you look at where is this thought actually going to take me, if you trace that thought to the end result, it actually leads to death and not to life. There are some thoughts in our culture today. There are some thoughts and some phrases that I see often. And these phrases are well-meaning phrases. They're often phrases meant to like motivate us or make us feel better about ourselves. But these are phrases that I think Paul's talking about. That Paul is saying that if you really trace these phrases down, these are futile phrases. These are phrases that don't lead to life. They actually lead to more death. These are phrases that culture has accepted, but that the gospel actually rejects. That if you're here today and you're a Christian, you would say that's not a Christian thought. Even if it's a good thought, it's not a Christian thought. Here are some phrases that culture has accepted that the gospel rejects. Maybe you've heard these phrases. Maybe even you've said them. I see Christians use these phrases all the time. Phrases like, you're perfect just the way you are. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Like, I hear people say that, and I hear Christians say that all the time. You're perfect just the way you are. Really? Like, perfect? Like, you ain't got something to change about you? Like, you don't have anything to work on? Like, you are perfect just the way that you are? Christians would look at that phrase and say, well, that's not a gospel phrase, because the gospel starts with the fact that we are sinners. We're not perfect just the way that we are. We're all broken. We all have something that we need to work on. But we don't work on it by motivating ourselves or by trying to become a better person ourselves. We work on it by allowing Jesus to take away that imperfection and to replace it with his perfection. So you're not perfect just the way you are. Have you ever heard this phrase? This is said all the time. Live your truth. Live your truth. Well, what happens if your truth is hurting me? Or what happens if your truth is hurting other people? Or what if your truth changes from what you said your truth was last week? How do I know what your truth is? Your truth can't be based on just what feels right or what feels good, because humans, we deceive ourselves all the time. Our truth should be set on something that's not going to change. And the scriptures teach us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what Jesus said about truth? He says, when you know his truth, it will set you free. So the truths that you believe in, are they making you more free? Do you feel more free as a person? Or do you feel more bound by the weight of the world? You ever heard this one? You are enough. You are enough. It's a well-meaning phrase, like, you're enough. It's typically said when someone's feeling like down on themselves, feeling insecure, like, you know, they say like, oh, I just can't get ahead in life. And it's like, no, you are enough. It's a well-meaning phrase, but it's not a Christian phrase. Because did you know you're not enough? If you were enough, you wouldn't need Jesus. But not only that, did you know that God intentionally left some things out of you so that you would need other people? It's true. Scripture teaches us this. That God created some people with certain gifts, and he left those same gifts out of other people. And he created other people with complementary gifts that actually work together. Like, did you know there are some people in this room that are really good at administration? And there are some people that are not so good at administration. And did you know that that's by design? Did you know that God intentionally was like, hey, I'm going to make some people who are wired administratively and some people who are not, they're going to be good at other things. They got other things that they're good at. Did you know that there are some people who are good at like fixing things mechanically, and there are some people who God just said, hey, I'm not going to put that in there. Like, I'm going to leave that one out. Like, this week, I literally was reminded of this. I don't know if you ever use the app TimeHop, but TimeHop shows you pictures and stuff. And like 5 years ago, I posted a picture simply because I thought it was funny. I had to replace the insides of my toilet, and I bought a kit because it said guaranteed to be able to assemble in 15 minutes. It took me 3 hours. That's not a joke. That's not like an exaggeration. It took me 3 hours to do something that was supposed to take 15 minutes. I don't know how to do things mechanically at all. Something that's supposed to be easy mechanically, I make it that much more difficult. And you know what? That's okay. Because God has wired other people to do things that I can't do. And he's wired me to be able to do things that they can't do. So this thought of you are enough, it might be a fine thought, but it's not a Christian thought. What about this? You have what it takes. Or what about this one? There's nothing wrong with you. You ever heard that phrase? There's nothing wrong with you. Well, maybe there's something wrong. I mean, if 80-some% of my thoughts are negative thoughts, I would say that's something wrong with me. If worry is the default position of my brain, I would say that's something wrong with me. I would say that all of us, it doesn't mean that we're evil. It doesn't mean that we're the worst thing ever. But I would look at myself and I would say, yeah, no, there is something wrong with me. There is something wrong with me. And Scripture would teach what's wrong with you is the sin nature that has to be replaced by Jesus. How about this one? Maybe you've heard this one before. God made you that way, so it must be okay. God made you that way, so it must be okay. It's this thought that if it's natural to me, if it feels good to me, then it must be okay. But what do we do with the bad thoughts inside of us? Because not everything that I feel is okay to God. Like, God didn't have to teach me how to do certain things. God didn't have to teach me to be selfish. He didn't have to teach me to say mine and try to take something from someone. God didn't teach me how to overeat. That came naturally hardwired inside my brain. And so this idea of God made you that way, Christians would look at that and say, no, yes, you're made in the image of God, but at the same time, Scripture teaches that all of us are broken, and that brokenness has to be replaced by God. Here's one more. Be you. Be you, boo-boo. Be you. Right? It's a common phrase that people will just say. They'll post it online, especially if like someone's feeling kind of insecure or not feeling like, you know, they matter. It's like, no, you just be you. Well, what if being me is negative? Or what if being me is hurting someone else? The idea for Christians is not just to be you. The idea for Christians is to model a life after Jesus, to follow after him. So this is why it is so important to learn how to think like a Christian. Because when you don't think like a Christian, great thoughts can come into your mind and they actually can change the way that you interact with people. But here's how you can know if a thought is Christian or not. If you take a thought, no matter what it is, if it's just driving down the road or if it's on the internet or a phrase someone said, if you take that thought, if this is your brain and this is the thought that's attached to your brain, trace that thought back to its source. And what does that thought lead you to do? Does that thought lead you to the truth that is found in Jesus, or does it just lead you back to yourself? All those phrases that I just shared with you, those are good, motivational, positive phrases, but they're not Christian phrases because they lead you back to yourself. And we would say as Christians that we cannot just rely on ourselves because our hearts are deceptive. A Christian, though, will take a thought, no matter what it is, and a Christian will say, okay, this is my brain. This pole represents Jesus. I'm going to tether my thoughts to Jesus. And how do you know if the thought is Christian or not? Well, the more that you think about it, the closer you get to Jesus. And you feel like, as I keep thinking about this, I keep feeling like I'm getting closer and closer to God. There's a difference between a Christian thought and a man-centered thought. So what the gospel teaches is that we as human beings, we need a heart transplant. We need a heart change. Because our normal, natural thoughts aren't always even in our best interests. Look at what Paul says next, Ephesians 4:18. He says, they, those that are separated from God, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. What Paul is saying specifically is that there are some that don't have God, and the reason they don't have God is because of the ignorance in them. Now, he's not calling them ignorant. He's just saying they don't know. They don't know the truth of Scripture. And it's kind of like this. You don't know what you don't know until you know it. Have you ever had like a new invention that just made your life so much better and you didn't know how hard life was until you got this new invention and like it just changed everything? Like I think about that with like my smartphone. Like there was a day and age where I had to actually stop my car, get out of my car and go pay money in a payphone to call someone. But now on a smartphone, it's made life so much easier, but I didn't know how different it was until I got that new thing. That's what Paul is saying with your life in Christianity, that there are some who've come so accustomed to living the natural life, to living without God, that they just don't know how good it is with God, that they don't know what it means to have a thought that's honoring to God. And ultimately, they don't want to have a thought honoring to God because they've hardened their hearts. Hardening of our hearts is something that Scripture talks a lot about. In fact, it's something that I pray, and I would encourage you to pray this too. Scripture teaches quite a bit that our hearts, if we're not careful, our hearts can be hardened towards the presence of God. And oftentimes we harden our hearts to protect ourselves. Because this life is hard and relationships are hard. And when we've been hurt by people, we can harden our hearts off and we can just become really tough to this world and say, I'm not going to allow anyone to hurt me anymore. But a prayer that I pray often is, God, would you soften my heart? Would you help me to be the type of person that can hear from you and does what you tell me to do? Would you soften my heart? Look at what Paul says next, Ephesians 4:19. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. This is Paul laying out for you that if you think through certain thoughts and you trace it back to where it goes, it doesn't lead to life. It actually leads to more selfishness. That there are certain thoughts that we have that feel like good thoughts. They feel like they're natural thoughts. But if you trace it through the fruit, if you say, what is the result of this thought? It doesn't lead to freedom. It leads to more captivity. It doesn't lead to unselfishness. It leads to selfishness. And this is a battle that every single Christian faces. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you need to know that inside of you, there's this little war going on. And it's this war of feeding the selfish side that lives in you or feeding the God side that lives in you. It's kind of like this. Evangelist Billy Graham, he wrote in his autobiography a story that became famous because he wrote about it. And the story is about an old Cherokee Indian chief who's teaching his grandson about life. And the Cherokee Indian said that a fight is going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil, and the evil wolf is full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. He then goes on to say, the other wolf is full of good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you. And inside every person too. The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf will win?" And the Cherokee Indian simply replied, "Whichever one you feed." And it's the same thing going on in our hearts and our minds. There's this battle going on, and which one's going to win? It's the one that you feed. So if your default position of your brain is worry, don't continue to feed your brain worry. You've got to feed it the gospel. And if you have negative patterns that are going on in your brain and your brain's just repeating them over and over again, the answer is not just to keep doing the same old thing. It is to replace those negative thoughts with thoughts that are honoring to God. But in order to do this, we've got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. It's like the quote from St. Augustine. He says, if you believe what you like about in the Gospels and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. The power of Christianity lies in believing in what Jesus is and in who Jesus is. The power of Christianity is not, I'm going to pick a little bit of Jesus and then the stuff I don't like about him, I'm not going to take. It is believing all of who he is. My friend posted this on TikTok and he made it as a joke. And I think it applies a lot to what I see happening today. That there are a lot who say, I am a Christian, but I only believe these certain things. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. Check this out.
Parts of the Bible do I think are inaccurate. That's easy. The parts that I don't like, the parts that make me feel uncomfortable, and the parts that make my life more difficult.
Right? There's some truth to that. What parts of the Bible do I not like? What parts of the Bible do I not think are reliable? Well, the parts that make me feel uncomfortable. The parts that call out my own sin. The parts that point out the fact that I'm not perfect. I don't like all that stuff, so I'm not going to deal with it. Well, the problem is when you start to change what the gospel is, it's no longer the gospel. The gospel is understanding that we are sinners and Jesus died for us on a cross and he took our place and that he redeemed us from our own sin. And he did that. We know he did that because he rose again from the grave. He did not stay dead. So how can you make new attitudes of your mind? How can you change your mind? This is where the gospel comes in. The gospel comes in because you constantly are reminding yourself of who you are in Jesus. That your old self is broken, but you're not broken anymore because of your new self. That your old self is selfish, but your new self's not selfish because you're now redeemed in Jesus. That these old thoughts that are constantly trying to tear you down, they have no place in your brain because your brain has been redeemed by Jesus. It is constantly telling you your thoughts, what is a Christian thought and what is not a Christian thought. It is constantly filtering in your brain. This is a thought that's honoring to God, and that thought is not honoring to God. And this is where our big idea comes in. Our big idea, again, is I can trust Jesus more than I can trust myself. So here's how we do this practically. Tonight, when you're trying to go to sleep, and worry is starting to hit your brain, and you're starting to worry about the same old things, and starting to get a little panicked and anxiety, you've got to literally tell your brain, brain, I trust Jesus more than I trust you. And Jesus, I trust that you're in control. And I trust that you have a plan for this problem. And it's for my good. And so now I'm going to go to sleep because I trust Jesus. You've got this. What would happen to your worry if instead of just chewing on it and letting it go over and over again, what would happen if you literally told your worry, hey, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to fight with you anymore. I'm going to trust Jesus. What would happen in some negative thoughts that you have? Maybe you have some negative thoughts about your own self-worth. And instead of just repeating those thoughts over and over again, what if you took it through the filter of the gospel and you said, no, I can trust Jesus. I can trust that in Jesus I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, I'm not perfect, but in Jesus I am redeemed. Yeah, you can. We don't have a lot of rules at Next Level Church. We do have one rule. And that rule is when one person claps, we all just need to clap. And really it comes down to, because we're assuming that most of us are Christians, so like when someone's clapping, it's probably because it's like a Christian thought or it's like because God is good. So like we literally just talked about that we're redeemed in Jesus and like you tell your negative thoughts to go away and one person was like, yeah, that's right. And some of you are like, I don't care what he says, I ain't clapping. And so the rule is if you just hear clapping, just clap. And even if your brain has like kind of wandered off and you're not listening to the sermon, just assume that they're clapping for something good and just go with it. Like, it's okay. All right, big idea. I can trust Jesus more than I can trust myself. Can we just be honest that we all have some weird thoughts? We all have some deceptive thoughts. We all have some negative thoughts. And the answer is not just to become a better person. The answer is to bring those thoughts to Jesus. And the way that we do that is through thinking through and understanding the gospel. So that takes us to today's win. Today's win is, do you trust Jesus with your thoughts? Do you trust Jesus with your thoughts? When you have a decision to make, do you take it through the filter of the cross? Do you take it through the filter of Jesus? When you're trying to make a decision in your day, what goes through your thought process? Is it just what makes you feel good, or does it go through the filter of the gospel? When you're worried at nighttime, does it go through the filter of the gospel, or do you just allow your thoughts to worry over and over again? Do you trust Jesus with your thoughts? If you're here today and you're a Christian, the calling is to allow Jesus to do in your heart and your mind what you cannot do in your own. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you're a God who gives us direction, gives us healing, that you speak the truth, and that in you, in the truth, there is life. And we ask right now, God, that you would be freeing our hearts and our minds, God. We've all believed some things that just are not true. We've all believed some things that are just not, they're not putting us in the best light. So we ask in Jesus' name that you would redeem our hearts and our minds. We ask, God, that you would help us to lay our worry at your feet, at the foot of your cross, and that, God, you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. We ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to think Christian and that we would find life and find it more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.